Blog Talk Radio.
And grew another thing to the south of us. You are surrounded with water. Great Pacific Ocean stretches out several thousands, millions of square miles. Here, you think that you were safe. No nation could attack you between these two great oceans. You was long from any attacker. This was in the heads of your father. But today you find that the earth is very narrow. With modern transportation, flying around the earth in less than a day's daytime, you have learned that you are not out of the reach of God. Who can find us wherever we may be? As the book teaches you, even though you may go and ascend above the clouds, or into the heavens, or at the bottom of the ocean, nevertheless, he will get us just the same. No way to hide. The judgment has come. Who shall be the judge? According to the Bible, in the 25th chapter, and in the 30th place, to the 34th, verse of the 25th chapter of Matthew, the Bible. It teaches us like this, according to the prophet of Jesus. At least it's put here as the words of Jesus. Goes something like this. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Here, let us take a look at this. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, in his time, and in the day, year, that he should take for himself to rule the people in righteousness and judge the unrighteous and give to the righteous their reward and bring upon the unrighteous the consequences of their doing of evil. He shall sit upon the throne of his glory. He shall not say, I have a seat, sit now, but he has the power that he is now ready to execute within his own hand, within his own person, to do according to justice and righteousness as it was predicted for him to do before his appearance. 32nd, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Think over this. Before him shall be gathered all nations. Not one, but all the nations. And he shall separate them one from another. Did you say you didn't want to be separated, my poor black people here in America? But here it is written that you shall be separated. It's prophesied and written in the book of Moses that in the beginning God separated the sons of Adam. The sons of Adam, meaning the various colors that was made through grafting the color white out of black man. So God Almighty, to whom praise is due, has taught me, Master Farhat Muhammad. Try and dispute anything. You can't do it today. Everything is made manifest. You can't do no dispute. You may only make a fool of yourself trying to dispute truth when it has made its appearance. Here we have that before him shall be gathered all nations. All the nations of the earth, today we bear witness, is now at war with each other. We bear witness that all the nations today is now gathered before God Almighty. Who shall judge us, the Son of Man? Who is the Son of Man? Now, you ask the big question. It shall be answered. He's not a spirit. He is a man himself. And only man can judge or dictate or confer or have any sympathy in the affairs of a man. There's no interest that man takes in no life on the earth as he takes in another man. He has no interest in trying to take in another life, a beast life, a fowl life, sea life, beast life, as he himself and his kind. He has great interest in the affairs of his fellow man, but not in other lives. He will treat other lives fairly, but he has too much wisdom, too much superiority over other lives. Therefore, he look upon them as a low creature to himself and his kind. Be interested in the affairs of man. So the Son of Man must be the judge of man. It takes man who are interested in man to sit as judge over man and man's affair. I want you who has been taught that the Son of Man is some kind of spook, or the coming of the Son of Man is spooky and not flesh and blood or matter that we can see and feel. You have been made to believe, as I said, the real truth. Almighty God, to whom praise is due forever in the person of Master Farhat Muhammad, demands you and me today to prove that God is such thing as has been taught to you and me, some kind of spirit or spook. He demands us to prove these things. He demands our teachers who have deceived us to prove such teachings. As God is something other than man, his appearance, his name, should have taught us that God is a man. His name, the pronoun you, the masculine, should have taught us that the God is a man. His hearing, his seeing, and his thinking and his revealing things to us in our language and his tender care for us and his heart taken in our affairs. This has taught us that God is a man. He sees, he hears, he knows, he acts like we, and he is a person. His wisdom is taught to us. Whom he pleases, he is a man. The Son of Man. Why is he mentioned as the Son of Man? Instead of just saying, a man shall sit and judge the nations of the world. But why he's referred to as Son of Man? It is to teach us this lesson, that he is part of a made man and part of an original man who had no beginning nor end. He's part of the truth. He's part of the people whom he comes to judge and to destroy. And he's part of the people that he comes to save. This gives him that particular good and merciful love for that people, the Aboriginal people of whom he is part of. It gives him that anger and that warlike spirit and that merciful-like spirit of the enemy whom he's part of. As you find it in the Bible, he's made from both. Let's take a look in the Revelation here. And I saw a woman sitting in heaven with a crown upon her head. And the elders was with her, and she had the moon under her feet. These are symbolic things that he said to her. But nevertheless, she had a son. The woman was there with the son, not a literary son. This woman is the mother of the man, the Son of Man, born in heaven from a woman taken from the Caucasian people, but nevertheless was made pure. As you used to hear it say that Mary, God taking seven devils out of Mary in order to make her fit to bear Jesus. I want you to know that this is not referring to Mary in Palestine 2,000 years ago. This is the mother of the Mahadiah, Medea, as he's called, by the Arab and by the Quran. The name Medin, Mahadaya, means one coming at the end of the world, self-independent and self-guided, and comes to guide others. He himself is self-guided. This is God in person. You find this in the 22nd surah of the Quran. Let us take a look again. Since you have known that the Son of Man, as you made it Jesus 2,000 years ago, that he was to be born and given a body suitable to condemn the wicked and to get among the wicked, so that he could get at first hand their evil done. He come among them, as the Jesus prophesied, without observation. This is a good way to not recognize a man when he looked like you. When he came among us, he looked something like us. He favored our people. We could let him in. I was one who let him in. I was one who let him in. Now he sits with me for many days.
I listened to his knock on my door. At that time, I had no doorbell. It was just a door. And he knocked on my door, and I remembered the book, the Revelation.
I think you can think I like it. I'm going at it honestly. I'm not fooled by it. You read Alex Haley's biography. I'm not fooled by that one.
Okay.
As you know, there are a lot of things I know that ain't there, right? And you know I know them, don't you?
Well,
sir,
I, one
you
thing
know
I, wanna,
I know them because
I
was there.
I want to say this. That brother.
Yeah, I know. You know I was there. And I don't have to explain it. You know, and I know.
If you were working for me, you wouldn't worry for nothing.
You know, and that's something that just ain't so. And
you,
I know it.
Yeah, well, you know. These things, if money you want, look at Howard. Look up there in the UN. That's an old man and he just...
Who's that? Oh, yeah. What's his name, Mom?
Howard. What's
Howard's first name? Huh?
Charles. What did you say the number was?
Well, he is working for our country. I doubled Howard's...
BR6-930.
BR6-930.
01.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I read that thing. I put it down. I woke up the next morning and I read it again. It's another thing. Now, there's some things that I was in on that I helped put together with these hands, and I just know this just ain't so. Just ain't so. And I
Malcolm could have been made where he was. He was going to the star.
This is Miss Nike, Mr. Muhammad.
If he had not been so silly to start thinking that he could deprive me of the honor of my divine mission, if he had not been so foolish to think so, and then set out to try and do so to put himself in my place. He wanted the people, after he had made a few lectures around colleges, university, to spoil Malcolm. Malcolm never was anything. And this, you know, upshoot to the moon all of a sudden, he forgot that the sun was shining. He's thinking the moon had it. And the moon was only just reflecting a light from the sun. And this spoiled the young fellow. And he just hurt himself. I said, nah, here goes another good labor. Would have been a good labor. I had lost some before that. For him now. Get envious, jealous, proud over a few calls from people and thinking, now I can do this.
You know, I'm going to say this in the picture.
Pardon me?
I'm going to say this.
Okay.
I mean, not quoting you saying it,
oh,
but from what I know that was going on in Malcolm's head, because I talked to him during the whole crisis period. I was the last person he talked to before he got on the plane. Remember when he came out here on the chickens coming home to roost? Remember?
Yeah, yeah.
And I talked about it. And the other people came to talk.
What was it in your book? Yeah. The word is given.
In fact, the word, it was swirling around that he was going to break with the messenger. And I just didn't believe he was that stupid. Although every evidence was in front of me. It's one of the few times in my life I ever looked at evidence. And because I didn't believe a man was this stupid, I went wrong. If you notice in the tail end of the book, I said he will never break from the messenger. I didn't believe he would do it. But I was wrong.
Yeah.
I was wrong because I listened to him.
So many were surprised.
I just didn't believe Malcolm would be that stupid. I really didn't.
But I saw Malcolm slipping about a year or two before. I said, if I can hold this man, I said, I will do good. I could discover him, just calm like him. And when he'd go to places to make public speech, I said, this young man is getting kind of proud of himself. And that if he don't be careful, he's going to lose. Because that's what happens. I said, now, by the power of God, brought him out of the prison and out of the slums and drug addicts of where addictions of addictions, pardon me, of Harlem. And this man is look like he is bound to lose because he is now wanting the honor of the people. I say he's just begging colleges and university staff to get a chance to say something. I said, he wants big on it. I said, then he wants to do something big, get his people in trouble. I said, now he go try and attack the old devil in the South. I said, oh, he don't care down there defend him. I said, there is no such time for that now. We have to wait until things are fulfilled to take. And I said, what? I called him in. I said, what are you? Not after he started up, but before he ever did this. He was talking to me about it. He wanted to start there in the Harlem.
I know he did.
And I said, brother, I said, you can't win without the God on your side. I said, he has given me the knowledge and the time. I said, I keep telling you to be patient. I said, the time will come when you won't have to lose no blood. I said, the Dallas people lost too much blood here for 400 years. I said, what do we want now to go around draining their life blood out at the hand of this devil before this power is broken? So, he said, that's right. Apostle, that's right. I know you know what to tell me. I'm going to do what you said. Then when he leave me, then he didn't do it. Well, now, this making fun of the president, you know I didn't care nothing about him. He'd have went up there and spit in his face where that concerned. But the thing of it is this. He and I both was a public servant. All right. To be so dumb to get out and laugh, make fun of the death of a public servant, even though he is your enemy. You're not supposed to disgrace your own intelligence like that, and you out here in the public do. I told him, I said, you shouldn't have said a thing like that. I said, the devil will make it hard for our followers there in jail, go around and beat the heads, the believers that's now in jail, saying, oh, you so-and-so and so. You're laughing, you lead the teachers out there laughing, jolly old president getting killed. I said, they suffer at the hands of the guards in prison. I said, you're hating your own followers. And I said, you shouldn't do this. So he had promised me he was not going to do so. But as the Time reporters mentioned, after he began to get called, he was just about ready to dismiss me. He hadn't said these things. But as soon as they went to appoint him, then he went to the extreme, referring to the death of the president as something for a mockery. Well, in fact, nobody, he was the president of all those under the flag. And you should show respect. He would not have did that for us. Probably he would have said, well, Elijah did a good job trying to reform his people while he was living. If he had lived, I believe that would be said by many whites. I believe he would have
did a better job than any Negro reformer. Okay, that's the man dead then. They'd say some things good about us now under the cover, but they don't want the public to know it because they don't want to be no help in resurrecting the Negro. Because the quicker he is resurrected, that's doom.
You know, this final word before I go. You may already know this. Sister Betty.